Turn to the scriptures, reading once more from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter, where Jesus talks about going out to dinner, hosting a dinner. Hear the word of God. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember a youth leader who started every youth group meeting by playing a game, "What will you do for a buck?" He'd have a stack of $1 bills and he would challenge kids to do increasingly ridiculous things, like search through a pie plate full of whipped cream for a single M&M without using your hands. Would you do that for a buck? A lot of kids did. How about letting someone pour chocolate syrup into your mouth from a height of about 5 feet? Would you do that for a buck? Then there was some insane thing having to do with insects that I'm not even going to describe to you. What crazy, ridiculous stunt would you do for a dollar? But Jesus sort of one-ups him here. Jesus wants to know what you would do without being repaid. What would you do for free? Now he talks a little more in these passages about dinner party and how to seat yourself, and that maybe is a sermon for another day. It doesn't seem like very good advice for going to a wedding or some such thing. The Bible really isn't an etiquette book, after all, and Jesus is usually a countercultural kind of a guy, the one who can be counted on to go against the grain and make you look at things in a whole different way. So he talks about, sitting in the lowest place. He talks about humility in a setting in which people weren't too aware of how to be humble. But the words I'm interested in today are these: because they cannot repay you. Jesus suggests if you're going to have a dinner party, you invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the people who have no resources, especially in those days, no resources at all in which to give back. Now, some New Testament scholars will tell you that what got Jesus in the most trouble, maybe even what got him crucified, is who he ate with. The truth is that then, as now really too, who we eat with says a lot. Says about where the barriers in society are, where the dividing lines are. It's one thing to occasionally interact with people of another background or race or religion or class, or maybe a work meeting or maybe some school project or some such thing. But how often do we choose to break bread with people who are different than ourselves? How often do we share table fellowship with those who come from a different part of the planet or a different social layer than we do? Who we share lunch with says a lot, and Jesus is going from preaching to meddling, as he so often does. When he tells us to pick up the lunch tab for people who are disadvantaged or unable to walk or people that are different than us, precisely because they cannot return the favor. And that returns us to the question, what would you do without expectation of return, without thought of reward, without any inducement, financial or otherwise? As we talk about reaching out to others, what would you do for free? And the chances are the things we would do for free tell us what matters most to us. What we will do, what we will throw ourselves into, what we will give our heart and will and soul to, not because it gets us anything, but only because it's the right thing to do, or because maybe we feel some kind of a calling, some kind of a summons to do it. I happened to arrive home on Thursday night just in time to see the first miner down in Chile return to the surface of the earth after 70-some days of darkness. What an amazing, remarkable, miraculous moment, full of humanity at its best, which to those who have the eyes of faith means that God was likely to be found there as well. There was the courage of those 33 men. There was the bravery of that first rescue worker who rode that tiny cage down into the dungeons. There were the determination of the miners' families and the president of Chile. And there was Jeff Hart, the American driller, our contribution to the whole thing, who spent day after day boring through the rock. And when his drill opened up the escape route, Jeff Hart told the Denver Post, "This is the most important thing I've done in my work life, probably the most important thing I will ever do." I imagine Jeff Hart got paid to drill. I'm sure he did. But it sounds to me like that was something he would gladly have done for free. I think Jesus would like that guy. I remember going to see Harry Chapin several times when I was in college, and he sang great story songs like Cats in the Cradle and Taxi and Mr. Tanner. And Harry Chapin would do concerts, benefit concerts, for World Hunger Year, and he did them every year. And people would say, "Well, what year is World Hunger Year?" And he would say, "Well, every year is World Hunger Year until there's no more hunger." He did half of his concerts as a benefit, half. Every other one, 50%. His motto was, "One for me, one for the other guy." What would you do for free, Harry Chapin? One for me, one for the other guy. I think Jesus likes Harry Chapin. Paul Springborn, where's Paul? Wave at us, Paul. He just got back from Haiti, spending a couple weeks with Haiti Partners, who works, among other things, with kids, with education for kids in Haiti. They've been there for years, and of course, they're in recovery now after the earthquake. We're looking at exploring a partnership with Haiti Partners in what they're doing, our church. Something on the order of Megan's Well and Megan's School a few years ago in El Salvador. But I think about the folks that are part of Haiti Partners, and you know, they get paid probably some kind of a wage to work with the children of Haiti, but really, what they do for practically free. I think Jesus likes those folks down there who are doing that kind of work. Now, you may not be a world-class driller, or a singer-songwriter, or a missionary, but you have opportunities too, so do I. What will we do for free? There's a number of things, really, if you think about it. Get up at 3 a.m. to sit in a church kitchen and get ready to mop the floor after our PADS guests leave. Prepare a Sunday school lesson for kids who probably won't come back when they're 25 years old and tell you how much it meant to them, although sometimes they do. Gently guide someone with Alzheimer's to the restroom. Clean up the coffee mugs after church one more time. What would you do for free? One of our youth group graduates lost her mother this past week, and several of her friends flew in from across the country. They paid their own money to be here for a couple of hours, an hour of a service and a reception after, just to be there for their friend, just to show up, because showing up is about all you can do at a moment like that. What would you do for free? How about inviting 8 Cub Scouts into your home for a den meeting? Not much compensation there. Serve as the treasurer of the PTA. Talk about thankless tasks. Coach the girls' soccer team. What would you do for free? How about holding your tongue when you're being unjustly criticized, because you know it's really more about how unhappy that person's life is? How about forgiving a wrong for the sake of the children? How about taking the fall for a coworker who might lose his job because you know you won't lose yours? What would you do for free? Writer Frederick Buechner once asked, "Is there anybody you know in whose place, if one of you had to suffer great pain, you would volunteer yourself?" What would you do for free? Chances are it's the things we would do for free, without compensation or recognition, that really define who we are. Years ago, I heard the story of the big game hunter in Africa who emerged from the jungle into a village where he found a nun cleaning out the sores of a man who had some terrible illness, some terrible disease, and the sores had become infected with maggots, and the nun was carefully picking out the maggots one by one with a tweezer. The sight was disturbing and the stench was terrible. And the hunter watched for a while and finally said to the nun, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the nun looked up at him and quietly replied, "Neither would I." What wouldn't you do for $1 million? Pray with me. Lord, may each of us find those things we do not for any reward, not for compensation, but only, Lord, because you need them done. Amen. Let's worship God now with our gifts and with